Many years ago, the Rav gave a Yahrzeit Shir on Gimel Shvat in memory of his father, Rav Moshe Zal, and the topic of the Shir was Avelus. I don't think we can cover all of it in the amount of time that we have now, but maybe it'll be part of a series. The Rambam opens up Hilchas Avel in his introduction, actually, to Hilchas Avel, and he writes, Yesh Bechlom Arba Mitzvos. And amongst the four mitzvahs that he incorporates into Hilchas Avelus, he's got one mitzvah saseh and three mitzvahs lo saseh. The mitzvah saseh that he has is l'hisabel al hakrovim. So the Rambam classifies Avelus as a mitzvah saseh. You'll see this also in the Pnim, inside the halachas, the first halach in Hilchas Avel, Perek Aleph, halach Aleph, mitzvah saseh l'hisabel al hakrovim. Once again, the Rambam has emphasized that it's a positive mitzvah to be misabel, to be in a state of avelus. And the question is, what sense do we make out of this? Offhand, the mitzvah of avelus is a losase. In fact, avelus and niyug avelus, observing the laws of mourning, is a constellation of 11 specific prohibitions, 11 isurim. The Rambam in Perek Hey Mihilchas Avel, Halacha Aleph, writes, Elu Dvarim Sha'avel Aser Bahem. And that's how he opens up this Perek Hey, with a list enumerating the 11 different Isurim. Aser L'Saper, L'Chabes, Lirchotz, Losuch, etc., etc. Hakol Achadas Ardavar. So there doesn't seem to be any positive command, any kumvase, any active fulfillment of the mitzvah velus. It's completely comprised of do nots, of negative, of avoiding. Avoiding rechitza, you're not allowed to wash. Avoiding kibus, you're not allowed to clean your clothes. Avoiding sicha, you're not allowed to anoint your body. So what meaning do we make out of the fact that the Rambam classifies and defines the avelus as a mitzvah saseh? Question number two, the Rambam, as we've seen, has incorporated Avelus into the Taryag Mitzvos, which means that it's a mitzvah d'oraisa. In fact, the Rambam Shita is that the mitzvah d'oraisa of Avelus applies only on the first day. We'll go back to the Rambam at the beginning of Hilchas Avelus, Perek Aleph, Halacha Aleph. The Rambam quotes the pasuk, "V'achalti chatos hayom." This pasuk is the source, according to the Rambam, for avelus as a mitzvah min haTorah. And then the Rambam continues by saying, "V'ein avelus min haTorah ela biyom rishon bilvad shuyom hamisa v'yom hakvura." So the Rambam limits Avelus d'oraisa to the first day, which is the day of the death and the day of the burial. Aval shar hashiva yomim, the balance of the 7 days of Avelus, eino din Torah. This is a rabbinic institution. So the first day is d'oraisa, and the rest of the days are d'rabbona. And then the Rambam asks a kash, and he gives a teretz. Afal pi shenemar b'tor v'yas li'oviv ovel shivas yomim. In Parshas Vayechi, with regard to the mourning over Yaakov Avinu, over Father Jacob, it says that Yosef, as the leader of this ritual of Avelus for his father, on behalf of his father, he says, Shivas Yomim, 7 days. So offhand, we would conclude, therefore, that the 7 days of Avelus are Doraisa. And the Rambam's answer is, Nitna Torah v'nischad shalocha. There are many, many different interpretations of what that means. But just on a superficial level, we'll present the following explanation, that all the mitzvos that we find that were observed before Matan Torah are not binding after Matan Torah, unless they're rewritten in the Torah later on. Here is a ritual, an observance of Avelus of 7 days that came prior to the Torah. That's not binding. That doesn't become a mitzvah l'doros unless it's reiterated in the Torah itself. However, what is the source for the 7 days of Avelus. Moshe Rabbeinu says the Rambam Tikein Lahem Li Yisrael. Shivas Yimei Avelus. It's very important to emphasize the word Lahem Li Yisrael, meaning that Moshe Rabbeinu, this Avelus of Shivas Yomim goes back way back in our history. It's an ancient mitzvah. It dates back to Moshe Rabbeinu himself, who was Masakein, who instituted Shivas Yimei Avelus Lahem Li Yisrael, meaning for the benefit of Klal Yisrael. And then the Rambam concludes that halach of the Shivas Yimei Amishta, and so too Moshe Rabbeinu instituted the 7 days of joy and celebration following the marriage, the Chosn V'Kal. The Rush, in the third parak of Moed Katan, quotes the Ri Baal HaTosfos, who holds Ein Avelus Minator, Lek Avelus Klal Midoraisa, says the Ri. The Afal Gav Da Aninus Yom Rishon Minatora, even though there is Aninus on the day of death, and that's Minatora, that's explicit in the Pasha of the Misas Bnei Aaron. So you see that there is a source for Avelus in the Torah. How then, the Ri asks himself, can I maintain that Avelus is Midrabbana, not Minatora? And he answers, Aninus Lechud V'Avelus Lechud. He separates fundamentally between two dimensions, Aninus and Avelus. Now when we think about Aninus and Avelus, and we define them, the first thing that comes to mind, this is simple, straightforward, is that Aninus and Avelus don't overlap in time, but rather they're sequential. One follows the other. Whereas Aninus begins with Misa, with the death of the relative, it ends with Kvura, and it terminates with burial. Avelus, on the other hand, only begins with Kvura, with burial, and it goes on for a day, midoraisa, according to the Rambam Shita, 7 days midrabanan, the balance of the six to make it 7 days, according to everybody. So offhand, we have to understand the Shita Sarambam, which also is the Shita Sarif before the Rambam. The Rambam equates Aninus and Avelus. The source in the Torah for the mitzvah of Avelus is indeed Aninus, and yet the Rambam derives from Aninus Avelus Doraisa, Avelus as a mitzvah in the Torah on the first day. Offhand, the Ri is absolutely correct. These are two separate concepts and cannot be integrated to form one whole. Aninus and Avelus don't overlap at all. So then the question becomes, how then, fundamentally, can the Rambam identify Avelus with Aninus, give it one name, one Chalushem, it's all included under this general mitzvah of Avelus, when Halacha L'maisa, in actuality, they don't overlap at all? Aninus begins, as we said, with Misa and ends with Kvura, whereas Avelus doesn't begin until after Kvura. So how then can the Rambam join these two concepts under one heading? Let's study a sugya in Moed Katan, which is very challenging. The Gemara in Moed Katan raises the question of what happens when there's a conflict between Avelus and Simchas HaRega. And this conflict can happen in one of two different ways, two different forms. Number one, it's possible that the Avelus began before the Regel. He buried his dead before the inception of the holiday. And then the Regel has to come and clash up with the Avelus that already preceded it, or alternatively, he buries his relative on Chol HaMoed, and he wants to begin his Avelus with the Kvura, but he has a clash with Moed, with Simchas Moed. So the Gemara in Moed Katan, Adaf Yudalad Amid Beis, establishes that Ein Ovel Noeg Avelusso Beregel.
that Avelus is trumped by Simchas HaRegel. And the Gemara explains that this applies in two cases, as we discussed before. I Avelus to make Karahu, if he began his Avelus before Yontif, Asi Esei Derabim Vidachi Esei Deyachit. Okay, let's note two important points here. Number one, the Gemara postulates that Simchas HaRegel, V'samachta B'chagecha, is an essay derabim. And insofar as it's an essay derabim, perhaps the Gemara means that you celebrate with others. For example, Gemara Rosh Hashanah Daf Vav says, Baal Mesamech Es Ishto. It's not a selfish, individual, private simcha, but it's a simcha derabim. That gives the mitzvah of simcha on Yontif a very powerful upgraded status, and it trumps the mitzvah of Avelus. Why? Because Avelus is the yach, it only applies to the individual. There's no Avelus derabim. The second point that we have to mention, we have to focus our attention and emphasize, is the fact that the Gemara calls Avelus an essay. This might indeed be the source for the Rambam, who classifies the mitzvah of Avelus as a mitzvah saseh, not as a lo saseh, which is, as we pointed out before, is very paradoxical insofar as the content and the fulfillment of Avelus is purely lo saseh, do nots. But be that as it may, the Gemara calls Avelus an essay. In this case, an essay diyachit. The Gemara goes on, and what about the second possible scenario? The e Avelus dehashtahu, if he buries his dead on the regal, Lo asi esei diyachid vidochi esei derabim. He's obligated on the regel in the mitzvah of simcha. The esei diyachid of Avelus does not have the power to undermine the esei derabim of simchas yontif. The Gemara then goes on to raise the following question: Menude mahu sheyinog niduyav beregel. There are long sugyas in Moed Katan about someone who is obligated in nidui. That means the Bezdin puts him into nidui, or even a chacham can put him into nidui for various crimes, for various violations. And the laws of nidui and the observance of nidui that a menuda is obligated to observe is identical to that of an ovel. So once we have established that the nihuge ovel, observing avelus, is impossible on a regel, it's just completely undermined by the regel by Simchas Yontif, what about the case of Menuda? Since he too has to observe the laws of Avelus, the 11 prohibitions that are incumbent upon an Avel, what do we do when there's a clash between Menuda and regel? Should Simcha trump Nidui, the Menuda, the laws of Menuda? Now, the Gemara unfortunately does not do what it normally does and takes apart, analyzes a suffix, a question like this, and tells you the different tzadim, you know, explains this side of the question and that side of the question. So we have to really figure that out on our own. But let's go back to the very premise of this sugya in Moed Katan Yudalet Amud Beis. And that is that there is a clash between regel and avelus, in such a way that we have to choose one or the other. They cannot coexist. The Ritva in Chidushim, right here in Moed Katan, raises the following question. You'll see this on page 2 of your Maor Makomos. It's the middle of page 2. And the Dibur HaMaskil is Menuda Mahu Sheyinog Niduyov Beregel. Says the Ritva, Meha Ikol Mishma, from the Gemara's Safek, we can derive the conclusion, the Nidui Do'oraisahu. The I Lav Hachi, Asi Nidui Derabona Vidachi Regel Do'oraisa Bekum Vasei. He says, what was the Gemara's Havamina, that Nidui could trump the mitzvah d'oraisa of Simchas Yontif? That's impossible. So the Ritva is implying the following two premises. Number one, that Avelus, which the Gemara raises the possibility could trump Regel, but the Gemara rejects it clearly, would have to be a mitzvah d'oraisa, otherwise there's nothing to talk about. In the case of Nidui, if the Gemara raises the possibility that Nidui would override Simchas HaRegel. It must be that Nidui is Dorais. This is a very profound and controversial issue unto itself, what the status of Nidui is, whether it's Drabonin or Dorais. Then the Ritva goes on, and he says the following. He says, Midoraisa, as far as the mitzvah of Simchas HaRegel is concerned, Kevan Shesomach Bachilas Bosar V'chayotzei Bo, he's probably referring to Shtias Yayin, because we know Ein Simchal V'Bosar V'Yayin. At the time of the Beis HaMikdash, the mitzvah of Simchas HaRegel was fulfilled through eating the karbanos, the Shalmei Simcha, the Shalmei Chagiga. But now that there's no Mikdash, the only possibility is Ein Simchal V'Bosar V'Yayin. The Ritva says, Ein HaRegel Mischalel. He says there's no desecration, there's no violation of the sanctity of the regel of Simchas Yontif if he observes the laws of Nidui. The Karina Bevis Amachta Bechagecha. The Ritva is pointing out, a very salient but a very profound point, that there really is no contradiction. There's no head-on collision between Nidui and Simchas HaRegel. They can be mutually observed. They're not exclusive one or the other. Because in fact, the Menuda is not enjoined from eating meat or drinking wine. He's allowed to do so. And to the extent that he does so, he could fulfill at the same time his state of Menuda with all the observances and all the prohibitions and fulfill the mitzvah of Simchas Yontif. So the question now arises, in the light of this Ritva, why was the Gemara so definite and the premise was unquestionable just one line earlier in the sugya regarding Avelus and Simchas HaRegel? After all, to the same extent that a Menuda is allowed to eat meat and drink wine, so too an Avel is allowed to eat meat and drink wine. Where's the contradiction? Where's the conflict between Avelus and Simchas HaRegel? In fact, if you know, some of the Yemenites have a minhag of drinking certain cups of wine during the course. Sequentially, you have numbers of cups of wine that the Avelim drink in the Beis Avel during the course of Avelus. And we know, for example, Sudas Havra is a meat meal as soon as the Avel comes back from the Kfura. It's the first meal he eats when he starts his Avelus. He starts Shiva. There's no prohibition whatsoever on an Avel. We shouldn't confuse it with Aninus. Aninus, there's an Isra Achilas Basa Shtias Yayin, but not after Kfura with the onset of Avelus. So what is the premise here of the Gemara that Avelus has to give way to Simchas HaRegel? Why not be Mekayim Shneim? Why can't he fulfill both at the same time? Rashi, here in Moed Katan, says something very strange. You'll see I bolded it. Rashi says that Osi Esei Derabim V'Samachta V'Dochi Esei D'Yochid Avel D'Chsiv, and he quotes a pasuk in Yirmiyahu, Avel Yachid Aseilecha. I mean, he illustrates the description of Avelus as Avelus the Yachid based on a pasuk in Tanakh. Now, that's pretty odd. I mean, what was the Havamina? What compels Rashi to have to bring to adduce evidence to the fact that Avelus is an Avel the Yachid? I mean, was there any Havamina otherwise? Let's discuss the status of Avelus Shiva on Shabbos. The Gemara Moed Katan on Daf Chav Dalid asks the following question: Chiyeshna Avelus b'Shabbos? The Gemara states in Moed Katan Chav Dalid Yeshna Avelus b'Shabbos l'fichach ola that Shabbos and every Avelus, of course, coincides with Shabbos. Shabbos is ola; it's included. In the minyan shiva, the counting of the 7 days. And why? The Gemara says, because Adam noeg avelus b'tzina. Although there's no public demonstration and observance of avelus, nevertheless, there's private observance of avelus on Shabbos. And the Mishnah in Moed Katan, Adaf Yutes Hamid Beis, says that Shabbos ola v'einam afsekes. That Shabbos is incorporated into the Sheva, into the 7 days. It's counted as one of the seven. The Mishnah continues, Regalim mafsikim v'enam olim. This is the premise that we saw that underlies the Gemara in Yudalit Amud Beis. It's based on this Mishnah. That regel, if it coincides with avelus, is not incorporated at all in the counting. Now here we have a machlokas rishonim. The Rambam, as you'll see here in Perek Yud, Halacha Gimel Milchus Avil, establishes Harigolim v'chein Rosh Hashanah v'yom Kippurim ein davar midivrei avelus noegbo. According to the Rambam, there's no Shirayim, there's no nothing of Avelus, no expression of Avelus whatsoever on Regel. It's completely, Avelus is completely null and void. However, the Bali HaTosfos and the Ramban in Torah Sa'onam disagree. Apparently based on a sugya in Ksuvis on Daf Dalet, the sugya there says, Hu yoshein bein anoshim v'hi yoshein bein anoshim misayel leil Rabbi Yochanan diyom Rabbi Yochanan afal pi shomru ein avelus b'moed avol dvarim shel tzina noheg. There is some question about the girsa. Our text says ein avelus b'moed. The Rambam may have had the girsa ein avelus b'shabbos, and therefore the Rambam had the girsa that we have. Let me go over this one more time. Sorry. The girsa is as follows. It says, Ein avelus b'moed, and some have the girsa of Ein avelus b'shabbos. According to the Tosus and the Ramban, the girsa is, the correct girsa should be, Ein avelus b'moed. Avol dvarim shel tzina noeg. And the Ramban has a long discussion about, in Torah Sa'odim, about the fact that on Moed, there is observance of Avelus in private, just like there is on Shabbos. As we said, based on this Gemara in Ksubas Daf Dalet. The Rambam will have to accept the Girsa, Ein Avelus b'Shabbos, Avol Dvarim Shel Tzina Noeg, because L'shitasa, there's no Avelus whatsoever on the regular. Now let's ask the following question. According to the Shitas HaTosfos, that Dvarim Shebitzina Noagim Beregel, that just like on Shabbos, you observe, the Ovel observes his Avelus in private, so too on Yontif, on Regel. What is the difference between Shabbos and Regel? Why is it that on Shabbos, we count the day as one of the 7 days of Avelus? Apparently because there is some vestige, some Shirayim, some leftover of Avelus, at least Dvarim Shebitzina Noag on Shabbos. And yet, when it comes to Regel, it's explicit here in the Mishnah that there's no way you can count, it's impossible to count Regel as one of the days of Shiva. Why is that so? I mean, to the same extent that Shabbos has an expression of Avelus, B'dvarim Shebitzino, in private, so too Regel, on a Yontif, there is Avelus B'tzino. So Tosfos Moed Katan on Daf Chav Gimel Amud Beis, you'll see it on your page, raises this question. The Afal Gav, the Shabbos Ola, Regel Eina Ole, Hoil V'Eina Velus Klal, Mishum Dechsiv Behem Simcha, but Shabbos Mia Loksiv Simcha, is Afilu Eina Noheges Ola. Shabbos, even though there's no public observance of Avelus, nevertheless it's incorporated, it's counted as one of the seven, because the Torah does not command us in Simcha. On Shabbos, all we have is Oneg, Kibud V'Oneg. I know the Chassidim add Simcha, and they have Yismuchu Malchuscha. We have it maybe only in Musaf, because Musaf replaces the carbon that gives us Simcha. Regel, though, has Simcha. So Tosfos says that since Regel has the mitzvah of Simcha, therefore you cannot count the day of Regel as part of the seven. But it makes no sense. Again, if you're saying that Regel is Mufka, is excluded from Avelus, it can't be counted, so why does Tosfos and the Ramban, why do they assume that there is Niyug Avelus? If there's no Avelus, then why should there be observing Avelus, at least Pitzina? If, on the other hand, in the case of Shabbos, we use that as a paradigm, that the observance of Avelus in private is enough to generate a mitzvah of Avelus that could be counted, Shabbos is counted in Shiva, then, for the same token, you have to conclude that Regel is also a mitzvah avelus, and therefore, it should be counted in Shiva. Why not? The truth is that even according to the Rambam, it's not so smooth, because according to the Rambam, if if there's no mitzvah of Avelus during the Regel because of the mitzvah of Simcha, yet the Rambam agrees, it's explicit here in the Gemara Moed Katan, that Shabbos bumps off Avelus b'farhesia. So is there a mitzvah of Avelus or not? And why is it counted as part of the Shiva? Apparently the Rambam holds that fundamentally in Hilchas Avelus there would be an observance of Avelus, full-fledged, despite the fact that it's Shabbos. The contradiction is more in terms of the farhesia aspect as a result of the mitzvahs of Kibud v'Yonik. Now, to make this issue a little bit more severe, what's the status as far as Regel is concerned, Le'inyan Minyan Shloshim? We know that Avelus beyond Shiva extends for 30 days. The Gemara in Moed Katan Adaf Yud Tes Amid Beis raises the following suffix: Boy Minei Abayi Mi Rabba Kavru Baregel, they buried the dead on Yontif, on the Moed. Regel Ololo Leminyan Shloshim. Oh, ain regel olo l'minyan shloshim. L'minyan shiva lo mi boile delo naga mitzvahs shiva beregel. On regel, there's clearly a justification, underlying reason why regel is not counted in the minyan of shiva, because there's no observance of avelus. Again, depending upon your sheet, according to the Rambam Kipshuta, just take the Gemara straightforward, there's no observance whatsoever. According to the other sheetos in Rishonim, it has to be there's no public observance. But what about Shloshim? Is there observance of Shloshim on the regel? Ki kami boile leminyan Shloshim dekanaga mitzvos Shloshim beregel. Now most Rishonim interpret that, what does this mean, that there is an observance of the laws of Shloshim on regel? They're talking about the Iser Gihutz v'tisporis, that during Chol HaMoed you're not allowed to iron your clothes, press them, you're not allowed to take haircuts and shave. All these prohibitions apply in Avelus as well during Shloshim. So Shloshim, from the perspective of Avelus and Moed, meaning Chol HaMoed, overlap. There's a perfect identity to the extent that both share the same identical Isurim, the prohibitions of Giyutz and Tisporis. Now, it's a very strange piece of logic. What sense do we make out of this? Certainly, we've established clearly that Regel undermines Avelus. There's no Avelus in Regel. Now, there happens to be, by coincidence, a certain overlap, as we said, a mirror image between Nihuge Avel of Shloshim, you know, the prohibition against shaving and washing clothes, and the Isurim of Moed of Chol HaMoed. But nevertheless, the observance of these prohibitions has nothing to do with Avelus. We said that Regel Yontif completely bounces off Avelus, Mafkia Avelus. So how can we count it in the 30 days? What sense does it make to integrate the days of Regel, of Chol HaMoed, into the counting of Avelus? He's not in any way observing the mitzvah of Avelus. Okay. Now, let's try to begin to piece this all together. We'll start with the Rambam regarding the mitzvah of Avelus as a mitzvah d'oraisa. And we ask the question, and basically it's the Rebalatosis' answer, his question against the Rambam: how could it be Aninus is Doraisa, but what does that have to do with Avelus? And we said that apparently, according to the Rambam, both Aninus and Avelus belong to one entity, one chalos, one mitzvah. However, there is a fundamental difference between Aninus and Avelus, according to the Rambam, but despite that difference, nevertheless, we still combine them together to form one entity. How are they fundamentally different in their very essence? Aninus generates prohibitions, Isurim. For example, a Kohen who's an Onain is not allowed to perform the Avodah. We'll leave out the case of a Kohen Gadol, but a regular Kohen Hedjot. Or for example, for all of Klal Yisrael are enjoined from eating Kodshim during Aninus. There is no kiyum, there's no positive fulfillment of aninus. Aninus expresses itself totally, exhausts itself totally in prohibitions and do nots. In contrast, avelus, by its very essence, on a doraisal level, is a kiyum, is a positive kiyum. We divide up tariq mitzvahs into two categories, positive and negative. Aninus certainly belongs to a negative, it generates isurim, and avelus is a kiyum. Primarily, that's the nature of avelus. On a doraisa level, there are no specific isurim under the mitzvah of avelus, but rather, avelus, as we said, is a heftz of kiyum. And that's why we emphasized over and over again that time after time, the Rambam defines and classifies avelus as a mitzvah saseh, not as a lo saseh. Despite the fact that, as we pointed out earlier, the Rambam enumerates the 11 Isurim that make up Avelus, that's Perikei Aloch Aleph, these are the 11 prohibitions. Nevertheless, these prohibitions are not Isurim in the classical sense. You don't define them essentially as prohibitions, but rather they generate a kiyum. In other words, this constellation, which the Rambam enumerates 11 different prohibitions, together, as a whole, as an entity, make up a kiyum. The mitzvah of avelus is fulfilled by abstinence in compliance with these 11 prohibitions. The very chalos, the very halachic status of the 11 isurim is one of kiyum. It's a positive command. It's a kumvaseh. The Rav Zichron Levracha very often is mechadesh, and it goes in both directions. Sometimes you'll see what you think is a mitzvah, and the Rav will say, no, it's basically an isur. And that would be similar to the concept that we see in Shas called an essay, a lav habamachal essay. And on the flip side, something like a classical lav habamachal essay would be v'inisam es nafsho seichem, which is essentially an iser. It enjoins us from five different categories of inuyim. It could go the other way around, the Rav says. Like, for example, I remember when the Rav was discussing, again in one of the Artsite shiurim, the mitzvah of shomer es yom ha-shabbos l'kadsho, which is an observance of a mitzvah saseh, of Shmira Shabbos, right? On a bakery, you'll say Shomer Shabbos. And how do you observe Shabbos? What is the substance, the content of that kiyum of Shmira Shabbos? It's abstaining from the 39 categories of Malacha. Here too, the Rav is using the same methodology, applying the same conceptual structure, that there are 11 independent Isurim prohibitions at all, but they really join together to form one whole, which is the Kiyum Aseh. There's no separate Isur of Rechitza, Ne'ila, and so forth and so on, but together, by observing all these prohibitions, the 11, he's Mekayim, the Mitzvah Aseh, fulfills the positive command of Avelus. In fact, if you take a look in the Rambam, in Perik Beis Milchus Avel, you'll have this, it's the third source on page 1, Halacha Vav, Kama Chamura Mitzvos Avelus, Sharei Nidches Lo Hatuma Mipnei Krovim. The Rambam is referring to the law that although a Kohen is enjoined from being Metame himself to a mess, however, for the sake of one of his seven relatives, there is going to be a Tuma, he's going to contract Tuma, for the sake of, according to the Rambam, the mitzvah of Avelus. This is fascinating. The Rambam sees in the pasuk Ki'im L'She'ero HaKorav Elov, where the Torah tells you that a Kohen, although he's not allowed to contaminate himself with Tumah and touch a mess, nevertheless in the case of a Krovim he does. The Rambam sees that as a paradigm of the mitzvah, the kiyum of Avelus. And he repeats himself over and over again. In his Akdom, his introduction, counting, enumerating the mitzvot, he says, Yesh b'chol mitzvah se'achas, l'sabel al-krovim afilu kohen, mistame u'misabel al-krovim. And then here again, in Perek Beis, Nihilchus Avel al-Chavav, kamachamur mitzvah se'avelus, sharei nidcheis lo atumim ne'krovim. And the Rambam goes on and says, "Kidei sheyis asek imoyim v'yis abel aleihem." The Rambam explicitly mentions the mitzvah of Avelus. And perhaps the source of the Rambam is the Gemara, the Yerushalmi, that speaks about the Kohen who didn't want to be Mitami himself to one of his Krovim. They pushed him to be Mitami himself. It means that desecrating Kedushas Kuhuna is itself a mitzvah, is an obligation, a kiyum of Avelus. So we talk about mitzvahs tumas kohenim. It's not just a heter. The Torah is not just alleviating him, the Kohen, of his prohibition against being Mitami himself. The Torah is commanding him and obligating him to do so because of the mitzvah. Maybe the mitzvah itself is the matir. The source for the heter of tumah is the fact that it's a mitzvah. The mitzvah of tumas krovim, the mitzvah of avelus, the Rambam says, is a mitzvah chamura. That mitzvah is so great that for the sake of that mitzvah, we can allow him, and therefore obligate him, to be mitami to the krovim. In the minyan in Taryag, the Rambam counts the mitzvah of lis'abel ulitami lekrovim together as one mitzvah. He integrates the two. So you see explicitly that the Shema Avelus is a kiyuma mitzvah. And it expresses itself in two ways. For anyone who's not a Kohen, through Niyag Avelus, by abstaining from the Yud Aleph, the 11 prohibitions. In the case of a Kohen, it's more dramatic and a more positive kumvase. He gets up and he's mitami himself. And the Rambam holds that Avelus Haninus is one package deal. It's two sides, two mirror images, two sides of one coin, of one whole. On the one side, there's the Haninus, which generates Isurim, mostly with regard to Kodshim. And there's no Niug Avelus in a positive sense. And that applies before burial, from the moment of death. And then from burial and on, when with the inception of Avelus, we're talking about a kiyum. And that positive fulfillment is achieved through himanut, through abstaining from the 11 categories of Isur. Therefore, it would seem that fundamentally, Avelus really should begin with Haninus, according to the Rambam. Again, if we're correct, and the fundamental assumption is that, according to the Rambam, Haninus and Avelus form one entity, one Chalushem, one single integrated whole, then the kiyum of Avelus and Haninus should both be seen as a simultaneous mitzvah, which begins even before the burial of the dead. However, why is it that the niug, the observance of Avelus, is suspended until after burial? It would seem logical to suggest that Avelus is inherent in Haninus. In other words, within Misa, inherently, is Avelus, as a kum vase, to be misabel. However, the onen before kvura is obligated in one mitzvah, in the mitzvah of kvura. He's got to be totally single-minded, focused on that mitzvah and that mitzvah only. And Misha beis mutl in front of him, as long as the dead is sitting in front of him, he's not buried, then he's potter from all the mitzvahs. So that, as a result, since Avelus is the kium, the active kumvase, the mitzvahs ase part of Haninus, therefore that aspect, that dimension of Avelus, has to be postponed till after Kvura. However, the full-fledged shame of El emerges with Misa, the kium befoal, the actualization of the Shema Avil in observance is postponed, is held in abeyance until after Kvura. The Rav in one of the other Yartzei Shiurim spoke about Chol HaMoed, that Chol HaMoed basically has within it inherently the Kedushas Hazman, the Kedushas Hazman, even Inyan Isur Malach, it has a full-fledged Kedushas HaMoedim. However, the Torah, in actuality, before was matir, the Rav used the term huta mechlalo malacha. Here too, the Rav is using the same methodological structure. He's saying that basically with Misa, Avelus emerges, the Shem Avel is there, the Gavra is an Avel, he should be observing his Avelus with Yud Aleph Isurim, but that's suspended, that's postponed by virtue of the fact that he has the mitzvah of Kvura, which exempts him from all mitzvahs, including the mitzvah of Avel. I mean, the Nachkivina would be, it's not just theoretical, what happens if there would be no mitzvah of Kvura? Lu Yitzir, after the Misa, sometime prior to Kvura, the Avel already becomes exempt from the mitzvah of Kvura. And this indeed is the sugya of Rava in Moed Katan Chav Beis Omid Beis. The Rambam accepts that sugya. Rava says to the Bnei Machuza, Asun delo azlisu basar arsa michimadrisu apaihu is aschilu avela. You should start counting avelas. The Rambam accepts this in Perek Alf Milchus Avel Halacha Hey. Mi shedarchan l'shloach hames l'medina acheres l'kovro is meyeshe yachzur pneem milavosam maschil limno shiva umaschil is avel. Avelus commences with the moment that the mess is sent away on the road on the journey to Kvura. If he himself, the avel, is not accompanying the mess for Kvura, then he begins his avelus immediately. So you see that inherently Misa alone is sufficient to generate Avelus, and that makes perfect sense according to the Rambam, that Aninus and Avelus are one entity. If we were to say that Kvur itself generates Avelus, then how could it be possible to begin Avelus and Hashem Avel before Kvura? But rather, as long as his deceased relative is not buried, and he, the surviving relative, has the possibility of burying him, and therefore he's osik b'kvuras hames, halachically he's considered that he's involved, he's dedicated, he's preoccupied with the burial of his dead, then he cannot fulfill any mitzvah, including avelus. But in this case, where the mess was already sent out, and he, the avel, is left behind, then the kvura, the burial, is not ma'akiv, doesn't prevent him from fulfilling his mitzvah of avelus, and therefore he will begin his avelus immediately. The Rambam, when he speaks about Avelus Doraisa, he speaks about Yom Misa Ukvura. What's Yom Misa Ukvura? Yom Misa means Aninus, which begins with Misa, but the Rambam adds, because he's discussing Avelus, Yom Kvura, because until the Kvura takes place, he cannot fulfill his mitzvah of Avelus, except for this exceptional case. The Hagos Maimonios, you'll see it here on your page, in Perek Dalet Milchus Avel, in the letter Gimel, he quotes the Smak, and the Rambam seems to paskin like the Smak. The Smak says that Misha Meso Mutu Lefonov Chayav Bechol Dini Avelus Gam Kodem Kvura. He says that even though he can't count the day or days before Kvura, sometimes Kvura has to be postponed until after Kvura, nevertheless, he does observe the laws of Avelus even before Kvura. So it's not counted in Minyan Shiva for the mitzvah of Avelus. We see explicitly from the Smak that Misa itself generates a Gavra Avel with Niyug Avelus. In other words, the abstention from the Yud Alef Tvarim does not undermine his askus b'kvura. So it seems that according to the Smak, there are two dinim in Avelus. There's Isur Avelus and there's Kiyum Avelus. Before Kvura, there are Isurei Avel, even though he hasn't buried the dead yet, and he's going to bury the dead. We're anticipating that he will get involved in Kvura. The Kiyum Avelus as a mitzvah saseh depends, which expresses itself in the minyan, that depends on Kvura. So Kvura is ma'akev as far as the Kiyum Avelus, and therefore he cannot count his Avelus of Shiva until after Kvura. But as far as Avelus as an Isur, similar to what we discussed, Aninus as an Isur in the context of the Rambam, those Isurei Avel are absolutely full-fledged legitimate Isurim that emerge and are validated even with the Misa. Again, the Rambam disagrees because he holds that there's no such thing as an Isur Avel unto itself. There's only an Isur Aninus. So therefore, any Isurei Avel regarding observance of the 11 Isurim of Avelus, that has to wait until
the mitzvah of Avelus could emerge, in most cases, after Kfura, and then it's already Ol Minyan Shiva. So according to the Rambam, it's impossible to talk about Nihuge Isra Avelus without a Minyan Shiva, because the Minyan Shiva, the counting of the Shiva, that reflects the Kiyum Avelus. But there is no such thing, according to the Rambam, as Nihuge Ovel, as Isurei Ovel without a Kiyum, because the essence and the Kishkis of Isurei Ovel is a Kiyum HaMitzvah. And that Kiyum HaMitzvah will facilitate the counting of that day and the days subsequent in the Minyan, in the counting of Shiva. So that reflects the Kiyum HaMitzvah HaVelus. According to the Rambam, it's impossible to have Nihuge Ovel without Minyan Shiva. But let's just reiterate the logic of it, because since Minyan Shiva implies or entails, is predicated upon the Kiyum HaVelus, and therefore the Kiyum HaVelus according to Rambam is identical with Nihuge Ovel. So there's no Nihuge Ovel without a Kiyum of HaVelus. It doesn't exist, it's meaningless. So let's say, for example, for Kvura, you cannot even begin to talk about Nihuge Avel in most cases, because there's no mitzvah of Avelus until after Kvura. And there's no minyan, even according to the Smach, there's no minyan Shiva before Kvura, but that's under a different halacha. That's because Avelus is reduced, is limited, restricted to Nihuge Avel, to Isurei Avel, and there's no Kiyum aspect. The Rambam doesn't know, doesn't recognize the possibility of Nihuge Ovel without a Kiyum Avelus. But you see clearly from the Smach, and the Rambam could certainly adopt this position, that there is Avelus even before Kvura. Our assumption that Avelus needs Kvura, and that Kvura itself generates Avelus, is simply an optic mistake on our part. It's an illusion, an optical illusion. Really, in truth, Misa itself generates Avelus, just that we have to wait for Kfura because of Osek B'mitzvah in order to actualize the Kiyum Avelus, because the Chiyuv Kfura, as we said, prevents any sort of mitzvah, any sort of obligation being imposed, incumbent upon the Avel, because on the Onen, we'll call him, until after Kfura. Now, let's get back to the Sugya of Regel in Moed Katan Daf Yudalet Amud Beis. We asked the question based on the Ritva's point about Menuda, that since an Ovel is permitted to eat meat and drink wine, and you'll take a look in the Sugya Psachim Kuftes Amud Aleph, you'll see this explicitly. So why can't an Ovel observe his Avelus on the regal, and he'll fulfill the mitzvah of Simchas HaRegel the way the Halacha prescribes it, namely, through Achilas Bas and Shasias Yayin. Even if it was the time of the Migdash, where the mitzvah of Simcha requires Achilas Kodshim, nevertheless, an Avel is allowed to eat Kodshim. Only an Onen is forbidden, is enjoined from eating Kodshim, but certainly an Avel is allowed to eat Kodshim. So to what extent does the Gemara postulate an absolute contradiction between Avelus and Simchas HaRegel? Why are these two mitzvahs mutually exclusive? And the answer is because the mitzvah of Simchas Yontif is not identical with Achilas Basar and Shasias Yayin. Yes, those are the techniques. Those are the mechanical actions that one has to be occupied with. But they are only means to an end. The eating of meat and the drinking of wine, these are nothing more than vehicles through which a person comes to an inner state, an emotional state of simcha. The mitzvah of simcha is not the achilas basin shis yayin. If a person would eat all the meat and the wonderful steaks and drink the most sophisticated vintage wine, and yet he's in a state of sorrow, of sadness, he would not fulfill the mitzvah of simchas yontif. In fact, to prove that Achila itself is not, does not exhaust or identify the mitzvah of Simcha, we could bring another number of proofs. The Rambam, for example, is of the opinion in Hilchos Yontif, Perek Vav, Halacha Yud Zayin, that even Bizman HaZeh is a mitzvah of Simcha.
despite the fact that we don't have a korban shlom and we don't have shalmei chagig, shalmei simcha. And the Rambam says, yesh b'chlal osa simcha, what do we have today? Not just eating meat and drinking wine, but l'smach hu u'bara v'nei b'yisa kalechet karoyla. Now, what is this kiyum of simcha b'zman hazeh? We can understand at the time of the Migdash there was achilas kodshim on yontif. And maybe today somehow the eating of meat, basar taiva, somehow, replaces the mitzvah of achilas kodshim b'zman hamikdash. But giving out the toys or nuts or candies to children, or buying nice, fancy, beautiful colored clothing for the women, the garments for the women, what chalos does that have? What's that connected to achilas basar kodshim b'mikdash? That there's no connection. But the answer is that these are all techniques. Even the achilas kodshim b'zman shebeis hamikdash kaim is nothing more than a technique. It's a means to bring the individual to a state of simcha shebelev, of an inherent emotional state of gladness and joy. And therefore, in our time that we don't have achilas kodshim as that vehicle, we'll find other vehicles, as the Rambam says. Also, if you look at the Rambam at the end of Hilchas Lulav, and he speaks about the great mitzvah of simcha that existed on Sukkot, a simcha yisera, which he talks about, namely simchas beis hashoeva, the Rambam identifies simchas beis hashoeva with simchas yontif. It's not some sort of kodshim halacha or migdash halacha, but it enhances and identifies the upgraded level of simcha on the regel. And the Rambam writes in his Sefer HaMitzvos, in Mitzvah Sein Nun Dalet in 54, V'kol b'yomer samach v'chech ma'sha'omru gamkein l'sameach v'chol minei simcha l'chol basa b'yomer tom l'shtos yayin l'bosh b'gonim chadoshim. And then he goes on and speaks about Simcha's Beis HaShoeva. L'schok b'plei nigun v'l'rakein b'migdosh v'hi Simcha's Beis HaShoeva. V'zeh kulo, all the above, nichtas tachas omro v'samachta b'chagecha. And you'll check this out in other Rambams. In the Rambam in Sefer HaMitzvos, Mitzvah Say Kuf Samach Tes, it all comes down to the mitzvah V'samachtem Lifnei Hashem Elokeichem Shivas Yomim. Now, if there's a Kiyum Lulav in Migdash as part of Simchas Yontif, once again, it must be that somehow the Lulav, and the Lulav specifically in Migdash, is a technique, a new type of technique that brings a person to this Chal Shem Simcha, which is the Kiyum Shebelev. And not only that, if you take a look at the Rosh in the fourth parak at the end of Rosh Hashanah in Siman Yudalid, he speaks about Simcha on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. And clearly in the case of Yom Kippur, where there's no Achil and there's no Shasiyah, what kind of Simcha are we talking about? How does that Simcha express itself? How do we fulfill the mitzvah of Simchas Regel, Simchas Yontif, V'samachta B'chagecha on Yom Kippur? But the answer is, once again, that all the external actions are nothing more than mechanical techniques to bring a person to the state of Simcha. But that Simcha is Belev. And that Simcha Belev applies not just on the three Regalim, but also on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur as well, according to the Rosh. If that be the case, we begin to understand why Avelus is absolutely antithetical to Simcha. Avelus too requires a Kiyum Shebelev. If a person abstains from all 11 Isurim, and then he comes into his house and he plays and he jokes and he plays games and he's in a great mood and he's joyous, he has obviously forfeited the mitzvah of Avelus Shebelev. All the actions are meant to bring him to a state of Avelus. And that Kiyum of the mitzvah of Avelus, which is an inner emotional state, is absolutely antithetical and irreconcilable with Simchas Yontif. They're two opposites, and they cannot be more polar extreme, one from the other. Now, if this be the case, we could begin to understand why the Gemara has a suffix about Nidui. In the case of Menuda, he has the Surei Avel that he has to observe, but he doesn't observe them as a kiyum asei, in order to bring himself into some inner state of avelus, but rather he has isurei avel as isurim. All the nihugim, all the observances of a menuda, are isurim. There is no kiyum, and those isurim do not conflict with simchas yontif. And that's what the Ritva is pointing out, that in one side of the Gemara, in Moed Katan, you can have both your cake and eat it too. The Menuda could observe his mitzvah's obligation of Nidui, as a mitzvah losaseh, with all the observances, the 11 Isurim, and at the same time, he can fulfill the mitzvah of Simcha, which is a Simcha Shebalev. And the technique that will bring him to that state of Simcha Shebalev, of Achilas Basar and Shtiyas Yayin, of eating meat and drinking wine, is absolutely reconcilable with the mitzvah of Nidui. Okay, the second part, God willing, of this Shia will take place next week. Thank you very much.